Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh here at the new MHA Studios, and we got a great episode for you guys today. I am so excited to be speaking with our guest today. Not only is he a good friend from college, we just recently got to link up. He was on tour. He's the head of audio for Gabby's Dollhouse Live. If you're not a parent, maybe you haven't heard of it. If you are a parent or have anybody with young kids in your life, you know exactly what Gabby's Dollhouse is. It is this sensation that's taken the world by storm. It's right up there with Bluey and all the other big Miss Rachel, very similar kind of things going along here. And it was so great to be able to catch up with him. And funny enough, when I was doing Walsh Wednesday back in college, we never had a moment to have him on. We are righting that wrong. We are having him on now. And again, here we are in the new MHA Studios, but he's not here. He's out in Sacramento, you said. So, introducing him, we have my good friend, and again, head of audio with Gabby's Dollhouse Live, we have Iobed Tedese. Io, how are you, man?
I am doing great. How are you, Connor?
Doing all right. You're probably a hell of a lot warmer than I am right now when it comes to being out there in California.
A little bit, yeah. It's actually kind of cold because, like, Sacramento is a little bit closer to San Francisco-ish. I got my little bit. It's like, it's nothing like East Coast, you know? Got my light jacket on, you know? That's all you need.
Nope, exactly. No, it's nothing like those winters we had to do up in Albany where, first of all, Albany's a wind tunnel. You just have all of that and your face is cold every time that you step out somewhere. Absolutely. And that's kind of what it's been like. It's inching back up. Temperature's getting up there again, but it's still cold. It's still very cold. Despite the cold, something that is really cool. Again, you are the head of audio for Gabby's Dollhouse Live. That is so cool that you get to do this. You were just here in Poughkeepsie for the performance at the MJN Convention Center, and we got to see each other. We were able to reconnect, and that kind of like spurred all of this. So let's talk about that. Dude, congratulations on being head of audio for that. So as head of audio, what are you doing on the Gabby's Dollhouse tour?
So I pretty much oversee anything that has to do with the sound of the show. The show is made in Australia, and I'm pretty much grabbing their creative ideas and making it happen at every single venue. That's kind of like the core of my job, and making sure it sounds good every venue we go to, make sure it sounds exactly like the way they want it to sound. There it has its own challenges and perks to it, which, you know, it's part of the job. I also manage, we have a couple of local teams and A2 with me. We handle and we get that job done. We do a show. Most of our show are one-nighters. So we absolutely just go in early in the morning, load in, set this up, tune PA, making sure it sounds great, making sure the actors, the cast is comfortable with their wedges, and because it's like it's almost every new venue, new everything, every single day. So my goal is kind of when the cast walks into that venue ready to sound check, give them the same feeling as like they were in the last venue. Just making sure it sounds good. That's like the core job. That's the core job.
I just want to see that on your resume. Makes things sound good. That's all your resume says. But no, Io, it's really impressive what you're doing out there with Gabby's Dollhouse and just touring in general. One thing that's a bit different than some tours, this is for little kids, so you're not out late to all hours or as late as you could be, say if you're doing like a primetime show for a comedian or musician or something. These are kids. They need to get home for their bedtimes, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a nice perk, right?
It is a nice perk. Most of our shows kind of land about 6 p.m. It's about an hour and a half show. So we are done most of the time. We're done by 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So, and then some days we go back right up in the bus and go to the next city. And sometimes our bus call stays a little bit later until maybe 2 a.m., 3 a.m. So we just get to hang out in the city until our bus calls and goes to the next city. So yeah, that's the biggest part of most of like rock and roll shows are like that, where shows doesn't start until 9 p.m. Yeah. After that, we load out usually about like 2 hours, depending on the venue. Again, what I said earlier, every venue has its own challenges, where sometimes our trucks have loading docks. Sometimes our trucks don't have a loading dock and we have to dump everything on the street and we have to put it back on the street. And so on that part, that's going to take us time. But usually we get it done. Our crew is very experienced crew and we just kind of get click, 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 click. And we'll load it out in 2 hours.
That's pretty good. You got it down by clockwork.
Well, our first few venues, as usually most tours are like that in the beginning. When you start a tour, kind of you have to figure out things, kind of where things go and whatever, and it's going to take you a little bit of time. And as soon as by the third or fourth venue, you know exactly how you're going to do it, so you kind of already imagine that in your head and just make that happen, and it just goes by so quickly. It's kind of like having SOP. We run on SOP, like system of operations is the key of the game on
Absolutely.
anything.
No, you got to be able to have this routine, be able to go in and out. As I said, is like pretty much new place, but same show each time. So got to be careful on that. So all that being said, you're doing this all the time. You're touring, you're moving around. We've talked about this. You said that you love being on the road, and I'll even get more into kind of like your legacy of being on the road. Your life's been on the road to a degree. But before we get into that, like, what has been unique about this experience getting to see the States and travel all around?
For me, as like since I started touring and seeing every city, it showed me that there's just more life. There's just more besides what I know and what I grew up with and what I've felt. And I mean, I kind of seen already there's more to life than. And on top of that, once I came here, I kind of settled in one city around the DC area, and I got comfortable, and that's kind of felt like where I grew up. And then after that, I kind of wanted to see everything else. And when I started going out to seeing, like moving to Albany for college, and then since then, that's when I developed like that what the love of traveling and love of like seeing anything. And what I love about seeing the road is there's just more to life. There's just more things to see. There's more people to meet. There's everybody. It's so everybody has their own special life. Everybody lives their own lives, and it's like completely thing. And cultures, you meet different people, different cultures, the way they speak, the way they grew up, and then you learn, you grab from those kind of people, and that's how you grow. So it's like that's one of my favorite things about just meeting people every place I go to, and learning from those people was like
Yeah.
good or bad,
There's so
and
much
when
to
you
learn.
travel,
There's
especially.
so much to see out of it. It's really impressive. I remember, prior to the pandemic, you might remember like 2019, I was traveling all over the place. I was barely around for college. I was traveling all over the place. It's
Absolutely.
amazing how I passed that semester. But there was such a beauty of being able to really get to see the whole tapestry of the United States. I was only traveling domestically. I only saw the States. I've never actually been outside of the country. But it was a beautiful thing. Tell me what that must feel like.
It feels amazing. I feel like I'm learning a lot about different. I feel like it feels like it's like do you ever play like you ever play a game or like a character, and the more you play that game, the more it's like that character just keeps developing, and that's kind of how I feel right now when I meet people and I like do these kind of different shows to meet different cultures. Like I feel like I'm feel like I kind of like absorbing and absorbing, and kind of, that's kind of how it feels. It feels like I'm like just absorbing things and
You're unlocking
learning things.
achievements like in a video game.
Yeah, I feel like I don't even see it like an achievement, but I see it more of like an experience. And I feel like I'm going through life and I'm experiencing. My goal in life was to like experience life, but not to like achieve it, to accomplish life, and day by day I live by what do I want to do and how do I want to experience things. So right now I want to do an Australian show and experience.
It's funny, and I love the way that it works out. And as you said, you're doing what you want to do. You set your sights on this, years ago. When you were coming to St. Rose, you were there for the music industry department. You and I were a part of Sound Crew together under Sean Wendell. Love you, Sean. And talking about his coffee addiction right before we got on this, it's like, but he gets stuff done. He gets stuff done. But it's really cool to see what you were like when you first came in to where you are now and seeing the growth that you had, even just at St. Rose. I just want to share this quick story for everybody listening. When it came time for your senior year, and so I'm already gone by that point. I come back, I'm just there to visit. I just want to see how your capstone's going. You had your album project. Not only was I so impressed by your capstone album, it was a very well-produced album, very well thought out. I also loved what you were able to do with helping everybody around you, because everybody else who was having their playback that day, You had your hands on helping them out in the studios. There was an event going on at Jack's place. You were helping set that up. I was just blown away by the level of leadership that you took on and how seamlessly you wore it. So I just got to give you kudos to that. So now here you are in this position, another level of leadership, which is so, so cool. So going, let's talk about college there for a second. Talk about the freshman EO to where you are now. Did you ever expect this for yourself?
Well, one thing I know that I've always wanted to do music. When I freshman year when I came to music, I came in to do anything that has to do with music, I will do. And I feel like I'm still doing what I wanted to do. Yes, I didn't. Well, the route, I feel like. Let me think about it a little bit more. It's like yes, I feel I knew that. I would just keep doing exactly like in music and keep going where I'm at. But I would never expect it exactly how it's going to end up. I never, it's kind of hard to kind of see the future. You can't plan out what's going to happen the next day. But I just kind of made sure one thing, Sloppy, Aiden Sloppy. I want to mention Aiden Sloppy
Aiden
real quick.
Sloppy, yes.
Aiden Sloppy, my guy. One thing that he told me about is that like it's not really it's like who it's not in the music it's not about who accomplishes the most. It's more of like who can last. So who can last in this industry? Because you know how this industry is is really rough. So who can last? So since freshman year of college, I kind of had that grained just more of like I was paying attention on like just kind of focusing on day by day to make sure that I don't give up on the dreams that I had as I was a kid. And another thing I lived by was like, if little EO sees me right now, would he be proud of me? Would he represent me? Would he be like, that's the guy, like, that's the guy, that's my guy. It's like, would he do that? So that's kind of how I live by. But as far as like, opportunities that I've had since then, now it's more than nothing really planned out. It's all God, and God just gave me all those opportunities.
There you go.
And
God is
thank
good.
you, Lord, for that. God is good all
Absolutely.
the time.
Dude, it is so, so cool. And great shout out to Sloppy. We love Aiden. Aiden's doing great things. He's been doing tours, guitar teching, and a number of bands down in Nashville. Shout out to our man, Aiden. Such a good guy. He was a part of Audio Crew with us. What you said about lasting, 100%. That's really what differentiates a lot of people who make it or don't make it, There's one story, Harrison Ford. He was asked after Star Wars came out, I forget which one, but it was like, hey, you came into Hollywood with all these different actors, but a lot of them left and you were able to make something of yourself. What's the difference between you and them? And he said, he stayed. I stayed.
Yep.
That's it. That's the only difference. Not that they were better. I was better than them. They were better than me. I stayed. And I feel like that's such a big deal. Did you ever get to know or work with Nick Pappalardo? He was older than me, so I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet him.
I've heard a lot about him. I've heard his mixes, but I haven't really in person met him. Yeah, I
Okay,
don't think so.
gotcha. I wasn't sure if you had any personal connection, but he was another one at St. Rose and somebody that I was able to continue to work with after St. Rose as well. And we had a conversation with how we were trying to catch up on like, oh, you still talking to this person? You talking to this person? And how many of them weren't in music or entertainment or what they sought out to do. They found a different path and, some people were very happy for that path and I'm happy for them. And others, unfortunately, for whatever reason, gave up on that passion. And it's sad to see. There's not many of us who went through the music program that are still involved in music, entertainment, media, anything like that. I'm not necessarily where I thought I was going to be 5 years after college, but I'm still very much in the field I want to be in, and so are you. And we are in the minority here.
I agree. And one thing is also, it's just because you're not the way you expected does not mean that you're not going to get there. This is the path to get there. You have
Amen.
to go through this to get to where you want. Sometimes like anything in life, you got to do the things that you don't want to do to do the things that you want to do.
Been there,
So
done that. Oh my God, yeah.
same here. I have done things that I've do not wanted to do, but it will build you. It builds character. It builds other things for you to be able to. If God gave you the things that you wanted to do right away, as soon as possible, I feel like you wouldn't be able to handle it. I wouldn't be able to handle anything that's like, So,
Wouldn't be ready.
but
No,
these steps,
absolutely not.
I wouldn't be ready. Exactly. So
Yeah.
step by step is what builds to get to exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, something we were talking about when you were here in Poughkeepsie, something that we both did that we didn't really want to be doing. We were delivery people. I forget,
Yeah.
did you do, was it DoorDash you did, or did you do Grubhub? I was DoorDash, but which one did
Dude,
you
I
do?
did everything.
You did it
I
all?
did Uber. I have Uber, DoorDash. Sometimes I had all three on at the same time,
Yes,
and
you did say that.
whatever paid the most, I took it, and I delivered pizzas for Domino's, Papa John's,
Yep.
Pizza Hut for all three of them, all three of them, and I still
Dude.
have the uniform at home.
It's grueling, isn't it? It is such a grueling thing of being
Yeah.
out there late hours grinding in your car, just wanting to go home and have a bite of the things that you're delivering. Like when you're trying to work towards a dream and that's what you have to do to try to get it, it is a slog. Like, how'd you feel in those moments? Like, did you ever get that sense of like, we're talking about being there, staying in it, lasting through it. Do you ever get that feeling of like, what the hell am I doing?
All the time,
Yeah.
to this day, all the time, I get there. The way you do it is, one, music helps me a lot. It helps music when I listen to music. It shuts the overthinking brain that I have in my head, all these kind of voices. So I listen to encouraging music. I listen to music that help me kind of, uplift me. And when you just listen to music and work, how you just motivated to do them. So most of those times when I was delivering my pizza, like let's for example in Domino's, like at Domino's, and you probably Domino's by St. Rose, you know what I'm talking
Yeah,
about?
I remember that Domino's. Yeah.
That by the hospital, yeah. So when I was delivering that, it was a really terrible job and it was tough. But the whole time my music was just cranked up, my AC was nice and at the car in the car, and I just didn't overthink it. But if I had the music on, all those voices would get in my head and I would just lose it. So I had my music on and I would make sure that I had a good time at that moment and take it. And I took it one day at a time, and those days
Absolutely.
passed.
Absolutely. That's kind of how I was, especially during the summertime. The summertime, I didn't mind it as much because I could have my windows down, have the good music on. It was definitely worse in the winter. It was definitely worse trying to DoorDash through the winter. But I think it just goes to show you what we choose to surround ourselves with, whether that's music or whatever in our environment, really does impact our mindset. And here you are with this positive music. I think that's a really good segue into what you're doing with Gabby's Dollhouse. It's positive music. It's kid-friendly music. And as we both said, for children's music, there are a lot of bops.
Very. Oh my God. I love this show. The way the producers did a great job on it. That the cast is they can sing very well, and it's like especially once the second half songs hit, the kids are dancing, even parents are going crazy. Like I've seen parents stand up and dance on the show. Like yesterday we had a great show in Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine. Portland, Oregon. Sorry, Oregon. Portland, Oregon. Oregon, Portland.
Portland, Oregon, that is a thing. I was going to say, if you
Portland,
did it in
Oregon.
Portland, Maine, that would have been one hell of a drive from Maine to Sacramento.
Yeah. Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
So yeah, we were there, we had a great turnout and everything. And like every song that was played, people were singing full blown, like singing, even the parents. I hear parents' voice and stuff like that. Catchy melodies, nice chord progressions. And that's all about. And I like mixing it. It includes a little bit of like kind of disco, rave music, and pop music, and it has different influences on it, and it's a good show. I think it's a great show. I
Yeah.
love the show. I love the show. I enjoyed the show.
I think anybody who's not aware of the level of kids' entertainment these days may not really think about the nuance that goes into all of it. Because when it comes to stuff like Gabby's Dollhouse that you're a part of, or Miss Rachel or Bluey, they have some world-renowned and accredited songwriters that are behind this. This is not just, I don't even know what to compare it to, but just like a silly one-note kid song. These are like really incredible arrangements, productions, performers, and you have to be at a very certain level to make it look simple and easy when it's really not. Here you are as head of audio, you have to make it look easy and seamless for the crew, for the actors, and then it translates to the audience. So how's it feel to be like, oh shoot, I'm at that level now where like I'm pretty damn good at this.
I love it. It's fun, and I'm learning a lot more. It's like I felt like when I joined the show, it was like a different level of production, a different like the from what I was on the last production. So I was like, okay, this is a challenge, something, how can I handle it? And listen to the songs and stuff, and I was able to make it work. And I think it definitely made me a better engineer, a lot more better engineer from the beginning of this tour. And right now, it's like I've felt like as an engineer, I made a huge improvement as an audio engineer. So,
Yeah.
and thank you for the show and everything for giving me the opportunity, you know? So
Yeah.
it was.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today, make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. It's the end of the year, and you may need to free up space for guests for the holidays, store seasonal decorations, secure valuables, and maybe even hide the presents. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings before, during, and after the festive season. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Woman-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show and play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. But as you said, Gabby's Dollhouse is not the only tour that you've done, and I want to give you space to talk about that. The weird domino effect that led you here. We talked about it when we were grabbing Dunkin' together, and I want to give you a moment to kind of talk about that crazy journey. Not only have you worked for some really cool organizations, camps, tours, whatever, but you really have gotten a well-rounded experience in the touring realm post-college. So yeah, I just want to give you the space to get into that.
Sure, absolutely. The first experience of touring that I've had was with Marty Wendell.
Yes, who's been on Walsh Wednesday. Yes.
Who's been on Walsh Wednesday, I agree. The first person I toured with was with Marty Wendell during the summer, pretty much right after I graduated. During the summer, I stayed in Albany, and I was with Marty in the studio working on those songs. And then when we're not demoing all the songs and re-recording it for Sean, for him just to walk in the studio and produce the songs. And right after that studio, when we're done, on some days we have shows, his band would come in, they would rehearse, I would record their rehearsal, and then we would go out for shows, and we would do shows, I would do help with load-in, I usually did monitors, and Zach would do front of house, and I just helped out with everything, and Marty Wendell is the first person to give me that opportunity to go to experience touring, I have, thank you for that, for Marty, for sure. And then right after that is when I moved to, I got that opportunity at NLP. Sean connected me with Lloyd, and Lloyd gave me that opportunity to work at the production company he was working at in Nashville. And great. And that production company did pop-up events. They had two buildings in Nashville, three buildings. And those buildings, they had weddings and they do sporting events, any kind of corporate events and those kind of stuff. And they also had a shop as well, too. So I was just a tech at Nashville. I moved straight to Nashville. I rented a basement from a person from in Nashville. And I just stayed there while I was grinding at that production company, working, learned pretty much the basics of professional production in the studio. At those venues and how making sure like cable runs and stuff like that. I've already learned that in St. Rose, but Sean gave me a really good base on teaching me everything that I needed to know to get to do good in NLP at that production company in Nashville. So I had that base, and that NLP kind of helped me kind of refine that and kind of build grain it in my head so it can be like just a secondhand nature. So, you know, so I did a lot of those shows on NLP. And then I started to look at other opportunities, and I didn't realize that we were working as a freelancers, and mm-hmm. our hours got cut down for a lot more. And then now it's time for bills. And I started working at a lot of small gigs. I was driving Uber in Nashville at the time, giving rides Uber and stuff like that. And then I saw Kennedy Center post a job for an audio, and it's a touring thing for 4 months. And then I applied for it, and I got interviewed for it, and that interview didn't go well. So I didn't get the job, and I was like, okay, that's fine, whatever. And I just kept working that whole NLP. Listen, I was sad about that when I got rejected from that gig. But that didn't let me, you know, change my mind. I was still grinding, applying for other things and working on music. I was hanging with Joe, Aiden, Sloppy, and they were there for me at all times. And, you know, those are the people. Sloppy was the guy I would go up to and talk to all the time, and NL, because I don't know a lot of people at the time. So he's the guy that I would go up to talk to. Joe was the one I would go up to talk to all the time. We'd hang and get Chipotle together all the time. So, and then a random day, I get an email from that production manager who didn't give me that job. And
from the Kennedy Center,
from the Kennedy Center, correct. She emailed me and she was like, "Hey, our audio person got COVID, and during that time, COVID was like still a thing. It was about 2022 or something like that. Got COVID, and she won't be able to do that show to then two shows. No, one show, two shows, one show. Let's keep it on one show." And then she was like, "I can't do it. Is there anybody able to you fly out to LA?" It was like she emailed me on Thursday night, and the show was on Friday night. The show was on Friday. And
Oof.
I had a wedding scheduled at NLP on that on Friday. I saw that email ASAP, and I was loading in doing work at NLP at the Cherokee Dock, and I saw that email and I texted Lloyd. I was like, "Hey Lloyd, like I know I'm scheduled at this show. What should I do?" And Lloyd was like, we'll take care of this, take the gig." And shoot, if it was another production manager, they'd be like, "Get out. You know, you can't all just be stay here. You have to do this." You know, Lloyd was like, "Yo, like, don't worry, take care of this, take care of this." And I was like, "Okay." And then I replied to her ASAP, and I was like, "Okay." And then that Friday morning, she flew me out to Malibu, and we did a show in Malibu, California. And after Malibu, we went to Beverly Hills, and she gave me that weekend off to hang out there, and I hung out there. It was very fun. I got to see my cousin, and it was a normal day. Yeah, right. It was like, okay, I did a show and it was cool. And then
A normal day,
go
you
back to
get
that,
flown
okay,
out to
back to the normal
California to
day.
do tours. That's a normal day.
Yeah, it was cool. And then I was like, yeah, and then after that weekend ended, we were back to the normal day. You know what I mean? Like back, I went back to driving Ubers and doing NLP and NLP whenever they book me, and doing random things on the side. I was producing music. I was locked in making music, and me and Joe recorded music all the time together. I was locked in, and all. And then right after that, a year passed by, and then the producer at a Kennedy Center, who just produces this theater shows. These theater shows hit me up, and he emailed me, and he was like, "I love the fact that you just showed up that one day, did a show that you have no idea about, and mixed the show and sounded great with no mistakes or whatever. Sounded great, and how that's impressive. And you know you need to do no interview, whatever. And you want to come out the next show with us?" And I was like, "Sure, I would love to do that." And then that thing that happened, that he emailed me in September. The show started in January. So September, I prepped myself to make sure that I'm on top of my game. For since then, I didn't have to do no interview or whatever. And so I just like January came in. Kennedy, I started the shows at the Kennedy Center. That was the day. Since then, Kennedy Center, I've been doing all the Kennedy Theater shows every single year for it. And I'm really close to the production manager now. She's my favorite, and she's a great person. She is a great person. Even though like that for that time it didn't work out, it makes sense for her. I wouldn't hire me at the time because I was again what we were talking about earlier. I wasn't just ready for it at that time. You know what I mean? I wasn't ready a person, and I'm glad she noticed that and she didn't give me that opportunity. Maybe if she gave me that opportunity, I would have messed it up at the time. But I felt like I had to, but the, you know since then and that there. It's like I'm glad that the opportunity came in later on, but not at that time. But at the end of the day, that opportunity still came back. So came by, and it wasn't the right time yet. But that production manager, Mary Beth, was incredible. She was
Nice.
incredible, and I worked with her for the past 2 3 years. And working with her, she's really cool, and I'm still working with her. She's amazing. And then since then, I would leave on the road for 4 or 5 months out of the years with the Kennedy Center, and I come back. I do local gigs. Kennedy Center is a union house, and other places, and pretty much DC has a lot of theater scene. And I would just kind of just bounce around on those days off. And then one time, there's a production company called Showtime Sound in Maryland, and I saw that I just looked it up. I looked it up, production companies in Maryland, and that thing that Showtime came up. And then ASAP, I hit him up. I just be like, "Hey, my name is Eubed, whatever. I'm an audio tech, and I would love to work here." And then she, I DM'd them. I DM'd them on Instagram. Yes.
On Instagram. Okay.
I found them online. I found them social media and I DM'd them online. And then on Instagram. And then the social media manager hit me up and she was like, yeah, we're not hiring at the moment, but we'll keep your resume and send this resume at this email. And I sent that resume. And then later on, the head of audio for Showtime Sound hits me up right away. Not right away, but like a couple of, I think maybe a week or two, hit me up. And he was like,
it's a good timeline.
Can you come in and interview? And I was like, absolutely. And he was like, when can you come in? And I was like, I can come in the next 2 hours if you want. And then I was playing basketball at the time. I literally just dropped my ball, my basketball in my car, and I ran, took a shower, and went straight to that job interview. I had that job interview. And then they were like, okay, we're going to have a second job interview again. And then we had a second job interview. I had the first interview. And then after that, a couple of days went by, they called me in for the second interview and they were like, you're in. And I was like, great. I love it. And then, so pretty much at Showtime, I was working at their shop most of the time, and they're an L-Acoustics dealer. And L-Acoustics, I don't know if you know, L-Acoustics is...
I do, but people listening may not know. Yeah.
So L-Acoustics is one of the major speaker brands in the live sound world, and it sounds great. I think it's a French made company, but it's from Europe. It's a European company, and they are a dealer for it. And they had every speaker that they have. They had in every console that professionals use. They mainly do comedies and corporate shows and some music. They have very well-known artists that come through there at the shops and the bands that rehearse through. So my job was just be there to like soak it all in, understand everything about in that room. And so at my time there, I didn't do nothing but learn. And like, and I asked so many questions until they got tired of me. I cleaned up gears that are like feeders that come in dirty. I didn't mind cleaning any of those. I was working hard, and I just had a goal, and I was like, I have this opportunity. I don't care if it's small or big or whatever. I'm just going to put my head down, just grind and learn everything I know about this thing.
Yeah.
And, I did that. And then right after that, Mary Beth hit me up again for another show. And then I went on tour with her again. And right after that tour, I came back home and I started doing other shows. And I, one of my favorite shows I did during the summer was PGA tour. I got the opportunity to work for the PGA tour when they came to Baltimore. So for a little while, I just did that. It was pretty nice golfing. You know, I was dressed as a golfer.
Do you golf much? Do you even know much about the sport?
You see, I took golfing in St. Rose, and we golfed like maybe five times.
Yeah.
And I learned the basic of it, but that was it. But I kind of watched them golf, and it was fun. Mostly, I was working at the press conference. I was at the press conference, so I got to meet all of those people who were golfers, and I was able to watch them and see how they work and see how they
think.
And one thing I learned about all of at that moment is like, Every golfer when they're interviewed, they never talked about how good they are. They've just always like so humble and how they could get better. And I took out of that and I was like, that's how I see how like successful people move. So, and that's how I want to be and stuff like that.
That's a big lesson to learn from that, big time.
I agree. 100%. And those people are like, listen, they're getting paid millions of dollars just to hit a little ball. You know what I mean? But it's a hard thing to do. But,
oh yeah.
But
golf's a tough sport. In concept, yeah. It's like, should be easier. No, it's not.
No, it's not. But, and, after that, I got hit up by the tour director of this, of the show, Gabby's Dollhouse Live. And, I was, on it, and he flew me up to Vegas to LMG where there was all the audio gear was, and I met some of our crew there, and then we prepped the show, and then since then it's just been crazy, just been and since then.
Now, there's a difference here between the Gabby Stallhouse story and the other stories. Most of those stories started with you hitting them up. In this case, they hit you up. And you were telling me when we got together in Poughkeepsie that it was because of your previous work that they reached out to you. So could you tell us as to like what it was that you did prior that impressed them?
Honestly, on this tour, to me, I don't know how I got that call. I'm the type of guy who just leaves his resumes everywhere. And who, like, I leave my name everywhere. And so I can't remember if I've applied to it or if he just found me randomly. That was the thing. Because literally it was a random Monday. And I got an email from Doug. And he was like, hey, would you like to interview for Gabby Stallhouse Live? And wow. I was like impressed. But I was like, wow, that's amazing. But I still not sure if I've applied for it or if he just found me there.
I just love the way that you put your name out there and everything. And it's like you just make yourself available for those opportunities. And the theme that I'm getting out of this whole discussion is that you never stop learning. Just never stop learning wherever you go. So anybody who's out there who's listening to this right now, they don't even have to be doing it for music. They could be doing just about anything. Like, how important is it for them to keep an open mind and to continuously learn?
That's all you have to do, honestly. Like, keep, like, anything, whatever you put your set mind into, learn about it. And there's not enough link. There's not enough. The best people you think are that, like, them. I don't know. My mind is in music. So, like, Stevie Wonder, let's say, give an example of Stevie Wonder. You could say Stevie Wonder is a legend in music, but I bet he still sits down and practices and he still learns something new while he was doing that. So it's like, I don't think you ever stop learning. Like, I don't think that's possible, but you can stop learning if you stop yourself from learning. It's like a lot of people are like, we get to a certain point and they're like, wow, I'm a legend at this. And then they get stuck and the whole world leaves them behind. And the world is always evolving.
Yes.
You got to evolve with the world.
Yep. I've heard there's the saying, the moment that you think you have nothing to learn about a subject is the moment that you're screwed.
The moment is you're screwed.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, that's the when you feel like you have nothing left to learn about a certain subject, that's the moment you get left behind because you are closing the doors on so many opportunities. But EO, you have kept the doors open. You have been opening doors for others and you've been finding new ways that you're able to propel yourself while also working with other people, meeting folks all across the country. And again, how inspiring it is. And it's great. And it just goes to show you, we only make ourselves better.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, EO, we are getting towards the end of this episode. I don't want to take up too much of your time. This is your day off. I want to make sure you actually get to rest a little bit. But it's always so good seeing you and just catching up with you. And I just got to say, the moments that we had together at St. Rose, bringing it all back full circle to those moments, like those times working together in the sound booth, I wouldn't give up any of them for the world. And honestly, I wish we could all do a show, same group, all together again. I don't care what the show is. I just want to get the band back together and just put on a show like we used to.
Who says we won't?
I know, right? Oh my God. I hope we do get the opportunity where we can just have a reunion or something like that. Cause absolutely. those were some good times. Those were some good times. EO, before we completely wrap this all up, do you have any last little nugget you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience?
Yeah, I actually do. I think I've mentioned it a little bit more. This one thing is like, if you ever feel like, I've always felt this all the time. If you ever felt like giving up, don't. It's like, it seems so basic, but like, it's, like you could be the worst at what you're doing. You could be the worst at you're doing, but just you really gotta keep it going. That's the only way to win. And that's the only way to win. It's like many people if they don't see that result right away, it's so easy to give up. And you just gotta just take that fight and just keep it going. And not saying I've got everything I want. I'm still experiencing that dream that I'm trying to get to experience, the dream that I had as I was a kid, and I'm still going there. And what's keeping me is that advice all the time. It's that, like, no matter what, you just gotta keep building it. The moment I say no, that's not what I want to do, and I'll do something else completely different, is the moment I feel like I gave up. So I just want to just from everybody who's listening, just keep it going, no matter how much it sucks.
Absolutely. If you truly believe in something, work hard at it. And, something that you and I have both learned, as we talked about, like we're in something that we absolutely love, but we never expected the exact path that it was. Some people kind of get hung up with the terms like giving up versus pivoting and improvising. You know, even if it's not the exact way that you thought it was going to go, pivot and improvise. Just keep roll with the punches and see where it takes you instead of just giving up altogether. And the last thing I'm just going to just put some attention to there, I am going to use that phrase that you just said over and over again. Instead of chasing that dream, you're experiencing that dream. If more people use that mindset, oh my God, how much more of a grateful and successful world we would have. Grateful, successful, and just, I feel like overall joyous world, because it's a matter of how we present it in our minds, you know, an attitude of gratitude instead of chasing that dream, experiencing that dream.
Yeah, you're not chasing it. You're experiencing it. Everything that you do, like your podcast right now, we're experiencing it.
We're experiencing it.
And life is about, you're not here to chase something. You're here to experience. You're here to live. So whatever you do, you got to live it. You got to experience what you do.
Oh my God, I got chills from that. Like, that's such a good phrase. I'm going to use that like every single day now. That is such a good way of just looking at the world. So if you didn't get anything else out of this episode, remember that phrase, experience the dream, not chase the dream, experience the dream. Wow. I know I feel like I'm just like blowing smoke, but seriously, I'm really loving that line right now. I really am. EO, this has been such a pleasure. All the best when it comes to Gabby's Dollhouse. When it comes to Gabby's Dollhouse Live, you can find out more in the description of this episode. We're going to have all the links and information for you guys to be able to check it out. So if EO and the rest of the gang are coming to a city near you, you guys can check it out. You can rock on and enjoy the experience. He was just here in New York, so it's probably going to be a while until he's back around, but you never know. We'll see where tours take you. EO, again, thank you so much for being here, my dude.
Thank you, Connor, my friend. I appreciate you for having me here.
I'm Connor.
I'm EO.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.